You know, I'm not a career politician. I'm just a guy that lives on the south end of the city, that loves the city.
I've been very fortunate to represent people for 2 terms on the council and then almost 3 full terms as mayor.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the mayoral debate in Plattsburgh, New York. Well, the candidates running for Plattsburgh, New York mayor have debated as part of a Mountain Lake PBS broadcast. Democrat Wendell Hughes represents Area 8 on the Clinton County Legislature, which includes the south end of the city. And Republican Don Kasperzak served as mayor from 2004 until 2014. Democratic Mayor Chris Rosenquist is not running for a second 4-year term. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley was a panelist on the debate. Here it is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's debate with the 2 candidates running for mayor in the city of Plattsburgh. I am Tom Hellick from Mountain Lake PBS, and I will be the moderator. We're going to have the candidates, Wendell Hughes and Don Kasperzak, introduce themselves in just a moment. We invited you, our viewers, to send in questions to ask the candidates. We'll try to get to as many of those as we can during this hour. The candidates will also be questioned by our panel of journalists. Kara Chapman is the Champlain Valley reporter for North Country Public Radio, and Pat Bradley is the North Country Bureau Chief for WAMC Northeast Public Radio. We'll go over the ground rules in just a few moments, but first, let's begin by welcoming the candidates. Mr. Hughes is the Democratic nominee. Mr. Kasperzak is the Republican nominee. Let's begin by asking both gentlemen to give an opening statement. You each have a minute 30. We flipped a coin to determine the order, and we begin with Mr. Kasperzak. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank everybody who's involved here this evening for allowing us to debate together. Another point I'd like to make before we start is that we've had some calls from people in Florida this morning, some friends and relatives, and we wish them the best.
We do. They're facing another hurricane.
They are. All 6 times that I have run for office, I have made it a priority to go door to door to listen to, our constituents, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, independents, working party, and they share their real concerns about what is wrong or right with Plattsburgh and what they would like to see. I can tell you right now that assessments, tax and utility rates, absolutely our recreation issue, safety and emergency services are the top 4. They also were very pleased, many of them, that I'm running. They feel that experience in office as a 2-term counselor as well as a mayor for almost 3 full terms is very important. And I firmly believe that experience is not just a cliche, but it is really important and makes a difference in this this debate and in this race. Thank you.
Mr. Kasperzak, thank you. Mr. Hughes, welcome. Hi. A minute 30.
Well, I'd like to thank Mountain Lake PBS for hosting this, and Tom, Cara, and Pat for moderating. I'm Wendell Hughes. I live on Allen Street in the city of Plattsburgh. I live with my wife, Pam, my 2 rescue dogs, Asher and Marty. I worked for 32 years in the Department of Corrections. I retired as a captain. During my career in corrections, I've worked as a union leader and an administrator, giving me a unique view of both sides of labor issues. In 2020, I was elected as the Area 8 representative on the Clinton County Legislature. I currently chair the Health Committee, which also entails mental health and addiction. I sit on many committees in the county, from public safety to finance committee. Last year I was put on the statewide NYSEC public safety committee, proudly put on it. I own a home in the city of Plattsburgh. I understand the struggles of homeowners. I've been out door to door 3 times this year. You know, we did the signatures, we did a primary, now we're at this stage, and I've listened. Trust me, I have listened. I understand, and a lot of the issues are gonna be the same. I mean, we've heard the same thing from folks. You know, public safety is a huge issue. affordability is always housing. There's infrastructure issues. I plan on bringing a very positive form of government, City Hall, based on quality teamwork and on my three C's: communication, collaboration, and compromise. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll now begin with the questions. You'll have 1 minute to respond, and then we will allow 30 seconds for rebuttals. We'll begin with questions from our panel, and then we'll get to questions that we received from our viewers. Let's begin with Pat Bradley and the very first question. Pat, this will be going first to Mr. Kasperzak.
Mr. Kasperzak, you mentioned in your opening statement and your campaign signs across the city say experience matters, but you were mayor 10 years ago. Since then, there's been a multitude of economic fluctuations and changes that have affected the nation, the state, and the city. Considering how unique some of those issues have been, such as the pandemic and its aftermath, how does your past experience prepare you to lead in this new era?
Pat, I can honestly tell you that 10 years, 15 years, whatever, the difference was when someone is there and not there, the basic problems still exist. You want a community that is safe. You want a community that has upgrades in their infrastructure. You want a community that has recreation opportunities. You have to invest in these things, whether it was 10 years ago or whether it's January 1st. And there's a whole host of other things that you can talk about with our beach complex, and those problems still exist. And actually, they're now just building a bathhouse, which they should have probably done years ago. So I think I've got enough experience to figure out some of those things. We have a dam issue that is a serious concern, which I haven't shared very much, but we will. And I believe that that's going to be somebody that has to have the experience that has dealt with those things before. So it may have been a few years, but I think we understand what we have to do.
And Pat, you are going to rephrase the question for Mr. Hughes.
Yes, Mr. Hughes, you've served on the county legislature, but you've not been on the city council to craft a city budget or address infrastructure or other municipal issues. So how would you be able to address the city's current issues and challenges?
Well, one of the unique things about my area, I encompass a large portion of the city of Plattsburgh. And I do deal with city issues from my constituents all the time. So I am fluent with current issues. I mean, I understand the, I've been out there for the last, you know, I was duly elected in 20, like I said, and I've been out there. I listen to folks, and I get them answers. And we, listen, I'm very, there's a lot of different type of experience. My experience is, today's experience I'll bring to the table, and I will work to the end of the earth for you. And that's it.
And gentlemen, this is where I will add, we will have rebuttals. If you would like to have a rebuttal, when the other gentleman is speaking, I'll be looking at you and just give me that nod or give me that hand up, and then that will let me know that you would like to follow up with the rebuttal. So, Mr. Kasperzak?
I am fine.
Mr. Hughes, anything to add?
No,
we will move on to question number two. You're making this too easy. We'll move this on to
question. We had said in our opening, I mean, a lot of the issues we've heard are the same. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, how we deal with them may be different, but a lot of the issues are the same.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to question number two now from Kara Chapman.
Yes. The current mayor and some of the councilors have publicly disagreed over some big issues in the last 4 years. There were sharp divides over the demolition of the Crank Memorial Civic Center and whether to approve a deal that would have resulted in the construction of a waterfront hotel. Each side has blamed the other for a lack of communication and willingness to work together. What specifically would you do to build consensus with the council if elected mayor? Mr. Hughes, you go first.
I think communication is number one. I mean, we have some councilors that actually FOIL request information, and that's not acceptable. You have to have, there's a portion of the charter I think that has been misinterpreted through the years. Inquiry conversations with department heads I think are fine. We don't want counselors running around telling department heads what to do, but an inquiry is perfectly fine. And that's the way it was worded in the charter. And the mayor has, I think it's been turned into a thing where they have no communication. Communication solves a lot of problems. And between me and the council, having the information out there, I think it's a huge battle that they've had the last 4 years. And under my watch, it'll be different. We will work as a team. Communication, collaboration, compromise.
Thank you, Mr. Kasperzak.
I think there has been a real, excuse me, issue the last two mayors of lack of communication, lack of transparency, lack of sharing information, and oftentimes, from what I understand, there have been last-minute additions to try to pass some things without really sharing the information. That was never a problem when I was mayor. I had the most open, honest government. People may not have agreed with the decisions, but there is no way that I'm going to change the way I am today. And if I do all of those things correctly, whether this council or certain members still don't like me personally, we're still going to get the job done, and that won't be an excuse not to work with me or do what's best for the city of Plattsburgh. That will have to be the priority no matter whether they like this new mayor or not. And that means if they don't like Wendell or not, which I'm not saying they do or don't. That has to not happen. You have to do what's right for the city of Plattsburgh.
Mr. Hughes, any?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, at the end of the day, we're doing this to be public servants. And if we don't serve the public, we're not doing our jobs.
And Mr. Kasperzak, any final words?
I totally agree with that. I will say, though, I foresee challenges if I'm reelected. Wendell may have an easier way to go with some of his relationships with some of the counselors, but I'm going to say the same thing. We must do what is right for the majority of the city of Plattsburgh, period. And it should be that way regardless who's in office.
Gentlemen, thank you. Pat, next question.
Mr. Kasperzak, a key role as mayor is negotiating contracts with the labor unions. Past administrations, including yours, had issues with unionized labor. What will you do to continue several years that we've had of better relations and successfully negotiated contracts with the unions?
Did you really think I had a hard time when I was there negotiating contracts? There were challenging times then, but the problem back when I was there was that we had no fund balance. We had no money. We had no maneuverability to be more generous, even though people deserved raises. And that didn't come across very well for some people. And that's where the battles started. And that's also where the personality issue started. I have talked to all the union folks from, well, throughout the city and their leadership, and we're coming in a different time where there is a fund balance, apparently. There is some extra maneuverability for working in generosity for some unions. Let's hope that hard work and fairness play out, and I don't think I'll have a problem.
Thank you. And gentlemen, at any point, if you need me to repeat the question or ask Pat or Kara to repeat the question, please let me know. Mr. Hughes, you have 1 minute.
You want me to answer the same question?
Yes. Same question, please.
Well, you, listen, like I told you in my opening statement, I understand labor issues. I've been on both sides. I've been the union guy, and I've been the guy with the administrator. I understand these things, and that's what make me, I mean, I have a lot of experience in that, and going forward, you got to treat your workforce fair. And communication, collaboration, I hate keep going back to that, but that's exactly how you deal with this. And as far as the fund balance, I'm not sure what we have. There's, you know, how much is spendable? I've had a lot of questions that I have not got answered. And, you know, we have a very large looming debt. I mean, and again, you still have to treat the workers fair and with respect. I've always governed on the fact of we praise in public, we fight in private. And that will be my philosophy.
Mr. Kasperzak, follow up?
Pat?
Yeah, I'd like a follow-up. Yes. Both of you have mentioned not knowing what is in the fund balance, but my understanding was that as soon as you were nominated, the current incumbent mayor had offered to show you the budget and let you know what is in the budget. So I'm curious, why you don't know what's in the fund balance, and therefore you don't know how that could affect some of these items like negotiating with the labor unions?
Well, that's a simple answer, because since he showed us or discussed it with us, there's been a lot of time has passed. And quite frankly, I don't know how much money has been spent, where it's been spent. We hear things, we're out there. And quite frankly, I'm hoping that it's a good solid fund balance. And because the mayor now has his obligation to show a budget very shortly, we'll find out. And then I could probably better answer that question when we get that information.
Mr. Hughes?
Yeah, and the same answer. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, went down, sat with the Richard Marks, and mm-hmm. had the conversations, and really didn't walk away with the information that I wanted. I mean, the state comptroller's website is a huge resource for it. 22 is the last dates they have on there, and that's what I have the numbers for, is 22.
Gentlemen, thank you. Next question from Kara.
Yes, I'm going to ask you both about your approach to finances. First, Mr. Hughes, as you know, the county's annual budget is put together by the county administrator in conjunction with department heads. It's all but a finished product by the time it's presented to the legislature for possible tweaks and a vote. At the city level, elected officials take a much more active role in the budget process. The mayor delves into the spending plan line by line and presents a full proposal to the council, setting off negotiations until the final budget is approved. If elected mayor, what would you take with you from the county's budget process, and how would you handle playing a primary role in the crafting of the budget?
Well, essentially, we do the same in the county. We go on a line-by-line analysis of the county budget every year. As we sit down for 3 nights and we go through each of those lines. I mean, it's the same philosophy, it's just a lot bigger scale. I mean, it's almost $200 million budget versus a $67 million budget. I know there's more of us involved in it too, but you know, you have to justify every dollar that's on that budget. If you have a question, you got to bring it to that department head. Why are we spending this and why are we spending that? I mean, I would run it the same way I run my household. I don't go waste money at my house, and I will never go waste money that the taxpayers have entrusted me with.
And I think you have a rephrasing of the question for Mr. Kasperzak?
Yes. Mr. Kasperzak, when you were elected to your first term in office, you inherited a city in dire financial straits. That included a dangerously low fund balance and consecutive years of budgets with big tax increases. You've said yourself that as you worked to turn things around, you were known as the guy who said no a lot. The city currently has a multi-million dollar fund balance and recently received no designation for fiscal stress from the state comptroller's office. Even though the city is in a stronger financial position, are there any strategies you would keep from your first stint in an office if elected? Can you now be the guy who says yes to unions, events, and projects?
Well, I don't want to disappoint the viewers, but I don't say yes to anybody right off the bat. I always look at what is best for the community. Let me just say this with all due respect to Albany Reports. We as a city have long-term debt, which hasn't been mentioned in those reports. That is my main concern. Short-term debt, they said, was not an issue, which I'm still a little concerned from what I've heard. But with those two factors, no matter how much you have in a fund balance, you have to prepare for what's going to happen in the future. And I am very conservative financially, always have been. It's one of my strong points. And I've often said I spend this money just like it were my own. And I have taken that for five terms, and I will do it for a sixth if I'm reelected, because that's what I believe in.
Mr. Hughes, and you have a follow-up?
Yes, a follow, since you both have mentioned the city's level of long-term debt, and that's often used to fund larger projects. The idea is that you pay it off over the life of the project. So what would you do to avoid adding to the city's long-term debt, maybe pare it down, but also still take on larger projects? How would you fund those if they were needed?
Well, that's what the key is. How do you fund what is the most important and what's a priority? Wendell and I don't know what the priorities are, except, you know, driving around and visiting with people. You will not be able to, for example, pave every road that needs to be paved. It's not affordable. You're not going to be able to hire 10 new people for a new recreation apartment. You may have to hire 2 or 4. Those are the things, when you are elected, that you look at with hopefully your department heads that will give you the best advice, which they always did for me. And it is not an easy decision. You throw in the fact that you need help and advice from the council, and hopefully they agree with your philosophy. I've been very fortunate with my philosophies over the years that the councils have agreed with me. And that's why we turned things around when I was there. So I was very proud of that.
And Mr. Hughes, would you like to follow up on that as
well? Yeah, listen, I'm gonna buy a tent and I'm gonna camp in front of our two senators' offices and our congresswoman. I'm very upset with the amount of money we've gotten back from the federal government. I think we deserve more. There's been so much money out there infrastructure-wise and it hasn't come back to Plattsburgh. Why? I will camp on their doorsteps and do whatever I need to do and explore every option of grant so we can go through. We have a lot of aging infrastructure in the city, and there are some issues now that we have to address. I mean, the Route 3 and Ruger Street corridors, they're at capacity. And I mean, the town uses those lines, and it's very important for the town to grow because we all grow when the town grows. It's not just the town or the city, we all grow. And there's a lot of things that we have to take care of sooner than later. And I will exhaust every channel we can to get that federal money and state money back.
Mr. Kasperzak, final thoughts?
I can't disagree with that. It's just that I don't trust the people above us, which is obviously the result of us not receiving probably the funding we deserve. No one will work harder than I will to do that as well. And quite frankly, I'm the half glass empty guy when I was in government. And that's why I always had plan A and plan B and plan C. And we will all work together, I'm sure, to do what's best for our community, regardless of who's in office above us. So yeah, we will have to do that, absolutely.
Mr. Hughes, you get the final word on it if you'd like.
Well, there's a lot of different avenues we can explore. Lake Champlain, Lake George, I sit on their board, development committee, great organization. And they want a bigger footprint up here in Clinton County. I'm willing to give it to them here in the city of Plattsburgh. They want to come administer grants for us and put in for them, I'll open my doors for them. You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to exhaust every avenue we can to get these grants and federal funding and other state funding here.
Gentlemen, thank you. Next question comes from Pat Brindley.
Don Kasperzak, the idea of the city converting to a city manager, city council form of government is once again being explored. And in December, the current mayor named a commission to look into the possibility. The 2015 Charter Change Committee proposed the change, which was rejected by voters 60-40% in 2016. Do you support a council manager form of government?
Well, let me just say this. If I'm reelected, no. Because I feel between the department heads that we have and I've worked with all these years and my experience, I personally don't need another $180,000 full-time benefit person above Richard Marks, who is our city chamberlain. The argument that people have is if somebody without any experience is elected, you may need that person to handle those types of responsibilities. So if you're asking me would I want one personally if I'm reelected, I don't believe you need one. If the people in this community vote yes for that, I will absolutely support the transition period of whatever it is. And I just want to say one other thing. There have been rumors all over the place that Don Kasperzak would hire Chris Rosenquist as the city manager. That is so ridiculous, I can't even explain it, and I would need more time to answer that. But that's wrong, and that's not going to ever happen.
Thank you. Mr. Kasperzak, Mr. Hughes, 1 minute on city manager.
Again, if this committee, the committee that's formed, if they come back with the recommendation to send that in front of the voters, and the voters vote that in, I would support it 1,000%. Do I think we need another salary? No, I don't. Unfortunately, I do agree with Mr. Kasperzak on that too. It's another paycheck that I don't think we need. I think we've done well in the past and under certain administrations, some better, some worse. And you could do the same thing with a city manager. I mean, you could hire the wrong person. You know, in the county, Mike Zerlo, has done a really good job in the county. How many Mike Zerlos do we have in Clinton County? I guess, and that's where I would go. But again, if the voters want it, I would have no issues implementing it.
Follow up, Mr. Kasperzak.
Wendell is absolutely correct about Mike Zerlo. He's been outstanding at his job for years. And If a Mike Zirlo was available to be a city manager at some point in the future, that would be a very good thing. But I really don't think, if I'm reelected, that that's what I would do.
Pat, you have a quick follow-up?
I was going to ask, and you brought it up, Don Kasperzak, about outgoing Mayor Chris Rosenquist has been rumored to be interested in a city manager position. So, Wendell Hughes, I am curious, would you support outgoing Mayor Chris Rosenquist as city manager if the change was made and if he applied for the position?
Absolutely not.
Do you want to expand on that?
That's
at all?
It. Absolutely not.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Any other thoughts on that question?
No, I gave my opinion earlier, so I think we're all set.
All right, very good. We'll move on to the next question now from Kara.
Yes. Since the retirement of former City Police Chief Desmond Desi Rasico in early 2017, the Plattsburgh Police Department has had a revolving door of leadership. Ken Parkinson was a chief for just under a year. Levi Ritter succeeded him and resigned 3 years later after a stint on administrative leave. Former Warren County Sheriff Nathan Bud York was interim police chief from early 2022 to fall 2023. And last December, Peter Mitchell was provisionally appointed. He retired from the department last month after serving as chief for just 9 months. The mayor has announced plans to form a search committee to put forward a recommendation for a new police chief. Should the chief position be filled as soon as possible, or should that occur once a new mayor is in office? Mr. Hughes.
I would love to be the person to pick that person. I think I'm very qualified to pick that person. I think it's one of the most important things we have in the city of Plattsburgh right now. We need the right person to lead our, we have a very good department, young department. And you get the right leader, I mean, they can do some great things. And there are some public safety issues as we're walking. Some folks, whether it's speeding, I mean, drugs, we've had murders. I mean, there's been a lot of issues in the city. And I think that strong community leader, and today's policing is different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, mental health, mental health has to be incorporated. Addictions, there's so many different aspects to it. We need the right person to lead our department. I'd love to be the person to pick that.
Mr. Kasperzak.
I have to tell you how disappointed I am in what has been happening with our police department. The rotating leadership affects everyone. It affects our community, by the way. People don't think of that. They just think of the people down there. I believe that our department right now is not being supported by this council. In the last two meetings, they have said no to training for female officers to go to Lake Placid. And they've also said no recently, last week, for two male police officers. This doesn't support our department. It's four counselors. We all know who they are. I believe I know their motives, but I'm not going to get into it here. But all I'm telling you is this. We need a strong new chief that has strong leadership capabilities, and we need a strong mayor to back him back up. And that's what we need to do, and that's what I will plan to do if I am reelected.
I do have a follow. Do you have a plan to ensure there's less turnover in leadership at the Plattsburgh Police Department? For example, are more officers needed to kind of, backfill and draw from in a way?
We absolutely, when I was mayor, we had 51 people in the department. Now we have 35. But we have opiate issues. We have murders on Cornelia Street. Speeding, all these other issues are now very difficult to utilize and to support when you don't have the people there. We need to backfill, but here's another problem. Nationally and locally, people don't want to be police officers anymore. The fatality rate is unbelievable. Would you want to be a police officer? I don't think so these days. And it's not just a financial thing. It's the fact that they're not respected. And that's what's been missing for years. And we need a chief that we will respect and support. And then we can backfill people to do what we need to do in this community. And I fully support that.
Mr. Hughes?
It's really hard to tell if we need more police. We've had such a turnover. I mean, we get new officers in, and there's new different opportunities that they take, some, and the retirements. I mean, the retirements happen really fast. And it's hard to, I don't know why, we have to do a better job maintaining the numbers. We have to do a better job, period. We can't allow these numbers to get down in the 30s. It's not acceptable. I mean, people want to live in a safe community. And when we get down to that 35, 34, 35 numbers, we stretch everybody so thin, and then we're doing mandated overtime, and they don't want to be, you know, people want to go home when their shift is done. If I get done at midnight, I want to go home at midnight and maybe, you know, see my family quick before, or whatever I may choose, it's up to me, right? And they're not, they're getting mandated to work those extra hours, and we have to stop that, because retention is huge too. We have to keep the men and women that we do get. Retention's huge too. So not only recruitment, but retention.
Any final thoughts on this?
Listen, since I was an alderman, it's now a counselor. I was a liaison to the police department for two terms. When I worked for New York State Parks, I was very close with the New York State Police and our park police. When I became mayor, I supported our police department absolutely 100%. I have the experience to support these folks and to try to do what is best for our community, and I've always made them a priority, and we need to continue to do that. It's very simple. Retention is one thing. Other things are another. Backfilling is absolutely important. But the safety of our community is number one. And we right now are in a position that's not comfortable with a lot of things.
Mr. Hughes, final words on this?
I mean, I have 32 years in corrections. There's nothing more important, more dear to me than public safety. I've been on the public safety committee in the county and in the statewide New York State Association of Counties. So I get a view of what's going on in the state too. And I think we have a great foundation. We just need that strong leader. And I think we'll be fine.
Gentlemen, thank you. We asked some city residents for questions, and Danny Hill, who lives downtown on Bridge Street, wants to know about using the old farmers market as a bus stop for Greyhound and Trailways. Specifically, he wants to know if you will look to relocate the Greyhound bus stop to another location, and if not, will the building be winterized and restrooms added on site? Mr. Kasperzak, we begin with you.
I think if people read my comments initially on the Greyhound bus issue, they will remember that I said Greyhound will not come into the city of Plattsburgh. Simply not coming. They will be turned around, every single bus. I said this, just for the record. And my wife was even unhappy with my comments, but that's fine. And I was very aggressive in saying you need to turn them around and for them to go to a full-service bus terminal, period. Very simple, isn't it? The company that purchased Greyhound is a German company named Flix. They bought the buses, they bought the routes, they did not buy any real estate. So they are dropping people all over this country at curb sites. That's unacceptable, and I want them not to use the farmers market that needs to be moved to another location that has a full service, fair, you take care of all the passengers terminal. That's what they need to do.
You'll ask them to find a better site?
Oh, I think they already know I'm going to ask them if I'm reelected. Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
I believe they have a new spot in the town. I think it's getting pretty close to, I think the town board has just approved the last stages of it. So I think they will be moving. But again, this is a problem we created. We, as I shouldn't say we, our current mayor created, which we didn't need. It's a private and public. We don't go out and spend money on the restaurants downtown, public. You know, we don't put roofs on their outdoor seating, right? We don't do that. Why? Because that's not what we do. Why are we taking care of a multi-million dollar bus company? It's their problem. They should have fixed it. We shouldn't be giving them public funded solutions.
Any final thoughts on this?
I think I've been pretty clear. Maybe they're going to be up in the Route 3 area. Excuse me. But I really believe what I said when they should have a facility that takes a full service, taking care of people full service. That's only fair to the passengers as well, all the passengers. So yes, I agree that it needs to be moved. Hopefully it will be on Route 3, and then we won't have this issue.
Mr. Hughes, final thoughts?
No, I mean, again, I just, I don't know why we created that problem. I don't. I mean, myself, I would never have stepped into that. I would have, and again, I mean, lack of communication, lack of everything again.
All right, this next question is coming to you first, Mr. Hughes. It's from Kylie King. She wants to know what ideas or plans you have to engage young professionals and their families to ensure the city of Plattsburgh maintains a vibrant community and one that will attract young families and future community leaders.
Well, retention for Plattsburgh State is essentially, I believe, I don't know if that's what the question's, but having those, having the jobs here that attract these folks, and we also have to have housing. There's so many different avenues to that question. I mean, we have to have the available housing, affordable housing. And when I say affordable, I just mean attainable. I mean, that fits whatever you're making at the time. If you can't find a home, you're not gonna stay here, right? I mean, our housing issue is something we have to address, and it's gonna, and keeping it a public safety is another issue too. We want the we want folks to feel safe here. I mean, it's so, that's like a four-headed answer on that, and that's what we have to do, and we need the opportunities. I mean, right now with Nova Bus, the impending loss of Nova Bus, that's gonna leave a hole. And I'm sure our good friends out at the chamber and the IDAs, they're working on getting a replacement. I'm sure we'll have somebody good there, but all those avenues have to be covered. We have to have the housing. We have to have the opportunities for them to stay here. And I mean, that would be the direction I would go in.
Thank you. Mr. Kasperzak, 1 minute.
I think it's quite clear that we need to probably and very seriously pursue some development at Durkee Street. Whether it's Prime or someone else, whatever project is there will probably attract some housing opportunities. It has to definitely be different than the plan they brought. And of course, the money that everybody spent legally, I don't think that's will come back that way. But I think that's a first step in bringing people downtown, and then they'll stay here. And if everything else with taxes and utility rates and all the other things, and Wendell's right, that's not a one answer for this. But you have to start somewhere, and I think downtown development is a good start, and then that may breed other businesses that are coming downtown, or maybe those folks will stay here and start businesses downtown or all over the city, by the way. And until we look at that seriously, I think we're stagnant, and being stagnant doesn't help anybody here in the future.
Final thoughts, Mr. Hughes?
No, I agree. I mean, we need, and some of the grant opportunities that we lost on last year, we can't keep dropping the ball on those. I mean, we could have had, it's a vacant bank on the tax roll downtown. It could have been, had it been vetted the proper way, we could have had a hotel, a boutique hotel restaurant down there. That's gonna pay more taxes than a vacant bank. We can't drop the ball on these opportunities. We just can't do it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Kasperzak.
Fine.
All right, gentlemen, I'm gonna pause right here. We've gone, my goodness, have we gone 37 minutes already? Anyone want to take a break, or would you like to keep going? The flow good? If anyone needs a break?
I'm fine either way, it doesn't matter.
I'm good.
Okay, anybody need a hit of water while we're stopping and pausing?
Let me, most important people we got.
Let me check with our control room and see if we need to change our media. And if we don't, we'll keep right on going. So, but we'll give everybody a hit.
That's good.
And let me know what Rashid and Lori are thinking as far as changing media. If they're okay, we'll keep going.
Tom, every time Pat gets ready to answer a question, I get thirsty for some reason. I don't know. I think she's intimidating me a little bit.
All right. All right,
if you folks. Since 1980.
That's right. All right. So, with that being the case, we'll go to Kara next for our question. So, hold on, though. Let me get back into it. And we go to Kara next with our next question.
Yes, you both brought up housing. That's what my next question is about. The North Country region has a dearth of available housing for low and middle income earners, and the city of Plattsburgh is no exception. According to a recent press release, while the city has seen 1% housing growth over the last 3 years, its rental and owner-occupied vacancy rates are below the healthy range of 5 to 8%. The city was recently designated a pro-housing community by the state, which opens up opportunities for funding to support housing and economic development. As mayor, would you plan to leverage those potential funding streams to increase the city's quantity and diversity of housing? Mr. Kasperzak, you go first.
I think you absolutely have to pursue the financing. But more importantly, and again, press releases are interesting. I've read a lot of them. I've even written some of them. They all say good things. Here's the bottom line. Middle-income housing is going to be difficult if you don't have the sites or the right developers. And right now, if you look at the city of Plattsburgh, there's only a few spots that you could even consider that. So for me to tell you as a mayor, if I was mayor, that we are going to pursue this, which we would, obviously, with the funding for that designation, but you have to have the location and you have to have a developer who you work well with to do this. And quite frankly, I could list the open pieces of property in the city and you shake your head and say, well, they can't go there, they can't do this, they can't do that. I'm not saying I will never try and I'll work very hard to do it, but I'm not gonna tell you that it's gonna happen right away, and I'm not gonna pretend like that's what we should do and it's a priority. It will be, but it's not easy.
Mr. Hughes.
The pro housing designation was one of the goals I had, and getting it just recently, I think, is amazing. A lot of the housing meetings and groups that I've attended, it's amazing how much we are entitled to with that designation. I was so excited to see that in the paper last week. So working with Lake Champlain, Lake George, and there's so many different great organizations locally to work to find the programs that fit Plattsburgh. Like Mr. Kasperzak said, we have only so much land, so we have to utilize it the best we can. We can't waste the, we have to get the most we can out of every piece of property we have and expand that tax base. And that's the only way we're gonna alleviate taxes in the city, getting more properties on that tax base.
And can I follow up and ask, you talk about sites. Are there sites in the city? We know that when the city bought Reeves Lane, the thought was it could be for housing. There's sites on the former Air Force Base. Are there potential sites?
Well, I think both Wendell and I know the sites. Quite frankly, the Reeves Lane, it looks good on paper when it's 82 acres, but only 40 is usable. Okay, so then you'd have to have a special developer. You have to have council approval. Let's be fair about that. The old Transportation Car Museum, that's an area. What about next to Glens Falls National Bank out near Skyway? I'm telling you, it's easy to say we all want to do this, and in our hearts we do. But I am telling you, it's going to be more of a challenge than you think with all these factors involved. So just remember what I said. We all want to do it, but I'm telling you, it's a challenge. And I would never be against this, but I'm just telling you, I've been through this before. The last middle-income housing that we dealt with was Lakeside Apartments. I was there. I closed them down, and it was a disgrace. We cannot let that happen anywhere in the city again.
And Mr. Hughes.
There's one more piece of property that a local real estate person owns in Crescent Bailey Avenue. I mean, there's some beautiful land. I grew up over in that side of town. We rode mini bikes back there, so I know the property very well. We used to go snow sledding down, we called it Fox Hill back there. So, I mean, that's another, we have some areas. And again, we just have to be careful on the projects that we get. We do not want to go into a bad project and waste what we do have. Because it is, we have to cherish the land that we have that we can develop.
Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
That's fine.
All right, next question from Pat Bradley.
The infrastructure in the city is aging, and some that has been replaced, supposedly new, has been criticized following heavy rains this summer. Margaret Street experienced flooding right after it saw some upgrades. Some have argued that there's a design flaw in those upgrades. Should the city engineer and or others determine if that is the case? And if so, should the city compensate businesses that were damaged? Mr. Hughes, you're first.
I think we definitely need an independent study of what was done there. I mean, I think we have to have somebody come in and put new eyes on that and tell. I'm not an engineer, I wish I was. I would go down there, I could give you my opinion. I mean, my opinion looking down the street, it looks like there's a low spot in the center. But again, I'm not an engineer. So I think we really do, we owe it to the businesses downtown. And if there was design flaws, I don't know if the city would be the one that would be on the hook for that.
Mr. Kasperzak.
Because I wasn't involved in this project, I don't want to criticize as much as maybe I personally would like to, being a former mayor. The fact is, something is not working the way it should for the money that it was designed and paid for. I've talked to our public works folks. And by the way, to correct you, we don't have a city engineer anymore. That has been abolished. So we have to depend on the construction, consultant engineering, and then they work with the contractor, and then they work with the city. So the bottom line is those two deluges were devastating to people downtown. I can't tell you how they can be recompensated, but I can tell you this. It needs to be, there should be an investigation and get some final answers to why this is. So if it can be corrected, I hate to say that, it should be corrected, especially if we have Durkee Street that will be developed.
And Pat, you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I also have a follow-up. It's not just Margaret Street and the new construction there that's been problematic. Water and sewer lines across the city need repairs. They're aging, they're old. At a recent city council meeting, residents from Waterhouse Street raised concerns about sewage backups into their basements. What are your infrastructure priorities for the city?
Let's begin with you, Mr. Hughes.
That's my right around the corner from my house. I've been in contact with all those families. It's been really unfortunate what they've gone through, and they don't deserve it. They came and put slip lines in, and since they did that, something's not right. And it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything for these folks. I'm not happy with the way they're being treated. I've been in touch with them. I drive by, stop by, and see them all the time. One gentleman's three times he's had raw sewer in his basement. Something's not right. I mean, I've been down there for almost 30 years now. Never have we had those issues. Something's not right. And to get somebody, I've been in touch with a bunch of folks in the city, and that's one of my day one projects because they deserve it. They deserve to have somebody give them answers, period. And not have doors shut and phones hung up on.
But that's just one example. That what is. Do you do citywide?
Citywide, as far as the infrastructure upgrades?
Yeah.
I mean, and there are these charts in the city that say exactly how old every piece. I want a chart. I want to know when the last piece of tarmac was laid on Bailey to South Platte Street. I want to know everything because we're going to make an order. We got to do these in an order that they're needed, right? We go sideways sometimes. I know somebody or somebody knows somebody. The good old boy thing has to go. We have to do it by priority alone, period.
Thank you. Mr. Kasperzak.
I spoke with the people on Waterhouse, and they absolutely deserve some infrastructure work. And I'm hopeful that whoever is mayor convinces the council to put that project in the capital list. You asked earlier about priorities and spending money. And if you have a fund balance, let me tell you this. You have 1904 pipes, wooden pipes, lead pipes, wooden, believe me. I've seen them all over the place. They go up Court, they come down Brinkerhoff. Okay, that's in that we're downtown. We are playing defense when we do this, when we should be playing offense. We are unfortunately waiting for these infrastructure problems to happen and we go fix them. We have to be more offensive and progressive on our thinking to look at these places and stop those things before they happen, because once that break happens, like out in Lake Country Village, you've got a whole host of them. You got to stop and fix the priorities first, and you don't know what they are sometimes, but that's what you have to wait and save your money for.
And if I could follow up, you mentioned earlier, Mr. Kasperzak, there's a dam issue?
No, there certainly is. The city has spent $25 million on four wells out there. I've been there a couple dozen times, and I spent 2 hours since I've announced my candidacy. And that project is being done because they're concerned about the Meade Reservoir breaching at some point. Now, I have to tell you something. There's 400 million gallons of water in Meade Reservoir. DEC is concerned. I would be concerned if I was mayor. We had issues with a spillway when I was mayor, and it cost us $8 million, okay? We fixed it, but it was a challenge. This thing is a real challenge for our community. There's not a more precious asset in our community than water. You think about that. And just think about what's going on in the Carolinas, in Florida. Water, water, water. We have plenty of water, but that dam has to be either decommissioned, which I wouldn't do, or spend $14 to $35 million in fixing it. And where are we going to come up with that money? I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is an issue that's not going away. I know this personally.
Mr. Hughes, your final thoughts on infrastructure?
The dam up there, that's been an issue for a while. As chair of the health department, of course, we have the environmental portion of it. So with Ryan Davies, you know, we've been very involved with that up there. And it's, it is a major issue. It is. I mean, we had some major water issues a couple years ago we really never got answers for. And there's, there's so many things out there, rumors in the city about, you know, there's the water gets low up there. So that's when we get the brown water in the city. I mean, we have a closed line. I want to know these answers, and we just don't seem to get these answers. And as mayor, that's what I want. I want answers for these things. Why do we go through these? And infrastructure-wise, we've had so many water line breaks this summer. That scares me. I mean, it really scares me. We've had some major water line. One by Plattsburgh High School was a huge break. I mean, there was, I can't remember how many thousands of gallons of water came out of the ground on that. Why are they breaking in the summertime? You know, I understand in the wintertime when we get the frost in the ground, but this summertime we had three giant breaks just right away. So it's all stuff we need to address.
Thank you. Next question from Kara.
Yes. The city of Plattsburgh was one of the first communities to receive a $10 million downtown revitalization initiative grant several years ago. More than $4 million of that funding was awarded to Prime Plattsburgh LLC. The company planned to build a mixed-use development with more than 100 apartments downtown on the current Durkee Street parking lot. The project has faced opposition and gone through a fraught legal battle that was headed to the state's highest court. But earlier this year, Prime announced plans to pursue a different project instead of the one under pending litigation. We haven't seen any details emerge yet about what Prime's new proposal would look like. If you're elected, do you plan to support Prime as it goes back to the drawing board? And if so, what do you hope that project looks like? Mr. Kasperzak.
When I had my press conference, somebody asked me that question, and I told them absolutely the present Prime project is unacceptable to me. It affected parking. The height of some of the structures that they were going to build was unacceptable to me, and actually, unfortunately, it stopped the whole project. There were both sides of litigation, and ultimately, I'm going to make a prediction that Prime will come back. They'll have a lower scaled project. I don't know this officially, okay? I'm just telling you, I know for a fact they still want to do something. And I think it's important to listen to them. And I'm hopeful because I supported something much smaller before that maybe they will listen. But it is needed in my opinion. There is no question we need to do something on that property, but we have to do it the right way. And now I will tell you one other thing. We're not going to please everybody. In the mayor's office, you never please everybody. So you do what's in the best interest of the majority of the residents, taxpayers, and business owners of this community. I've always said that, and I've always done that. And that's what I will continue to do if I'm reelected.
51% or more. Yeah. That's my philosophy. I mean, if you're doing 51% or more, you're doing good. Listen, I'm excited when anybody wants put money into the city of Plattsburgh, because that's what we need. We need to expand the tax base. We need housing. There's a lot of things we need, but it has to be the right project to fit that area. Like I said before, and the first project was very large. I mean, we could have used 110 units, but is that the way we want to put 110 units? I mean, there's a lot of questions with that. So I'd love to see the plans on a new plan. I want to see development in the city of Plattsburgh, because that's what adds to our tax base. I mean, that's what we need. And we need housing. So hopefully housing is a portion of it.
All right, Jim, thank you. Pat, do you want to jump ahead to 14 instead of 12?
Sure. Yeah.
We're running a little bit low on time, so let
sure,
me pick
I can
it
do
up.
That.
So our next question comes from Pat Bradley.
Okay. Recreation is a big issue for the city and its residents. The town of Plattsburgh's DRI proposal, they're submitting a proposal this year to try to get some funds. It includes investing in a multi-use indoor sports and recreation facility and an outdoor multi-use turf field. What recreation initiatives for youth recreation in the city would you support and advance, Mr. Hughes?
any recreation is good recreation. But I don't think it's just youth. I think it's all ages of recreation is what we need to look at. The town of Plattsburgh has some senior paddles, and people really love going out and doing a paddle up the Saranac River and some of the beautiful areas we have. Kids are so important, and it's not just recreation, it's arts and crafts, there's all kinds of things. We've neglected our youth and our recreation program for a long time, and we need to reinvent recreation. It's the way I word it. We need to reinvent it in the city of Plattsburgh. Depending on what we have for money, I can't sit here and say, hey, listen, we're gonna compete with the town of Plattsburgh. We're gonna put a huge stadium up, and we're gonna do a better, but maybe we can do as shared service with the town. And I think that's where we need to look at. Shared services, not alone, just the town, the other towns in the area can all be a part of this too. We need to start, Plattsburgh Little League, when I was a kid, that was all kids from the city. It's not anymore. It's a Clinton County Little League. So we now need to start making our recreation maybe a little broader. And I think we can do things, and we can have a great program. This summer we brought in Pump, Pass, and Kick with Kiwanis. It was amazing. We had 75 kids show up. People are earning for this stuff, and we need to get more of it.
Casper Zach, 1 minute.
From day one, I said that we need to address and rebuild our recreation and parks department. I firmly believe that today. What I would like to see when you're talking about the town and their facility that they hopefully will build, the city, the town, and the county should have gotten together, they should have met, which I thought they did, I was told, and just figure out between all three of them to build one simple facility. And we all would contribute to it, because it's no longer the city kids or the town kids or the county kids. Wendell's, it's everybody. And I think that, I don't care where it would be built. You could build it where the old crate center is. Okay, you could build it next to Cumberland 12 if you want. There's property out there. I don't care where you build it. We all ought to be partners to do that, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is we have to rebuild very slowly our recreation and parks department. You can no longer force all these issues on public works. That's not fair, and it doesn't get the job done. So we need to do all of those things. I think we should have one sports facility for our region.
Thank you. Kara, you have one last question on parks and infrastructure.
Okay, yes. Current Mayor Chris Rosenquist has made park revitalization a priority of his term, and that's led to events like Parks Come Alive and improvements like the new playground at South Platte Street, known as Fox Hill. Recently, the council approved $600,000 for improvements to the bathrooms at Melissa Penfield Park, but councilors didn't approve just under $1 million to demolish Fox Hill's current bathrooms and construct a new building with a clubhouse. Both were items included in the city's Parks and Rural Master Plan, which outlines park proposals for the next 5 to 10 years. Would you carry forward any of the current parks initiatives, including the Parks Renewal Master Plan, and how would you plan to ensure all the city's parks get their fair share of maintenance and improvements? I believe Mr. Hughes is going first on this one.
Mr. Hughes.
I love some of the plans. How do we pay for them? That's the problem. How do we pay for them? Interest rates are high, and we keep bonding money. That long-term debt scares me. So how do we, I would love to continue with these. The million dollar bathroom just sounds like a lot of money to me. Can we revamp the one that's there and maybe save $750,000? And use that money on other equipment for the parks? We just have to get smarter spending our money. We really need to get smarter spending the money. The kids are, to make the investment in our kids, like with the opioid issues, we have so many issues, and busy kids don't seem to get in trouble. And I think that's the goal, keeping our youth busy and even our seniors busy. Seniors love to get out and do different things, and we have to do better. We have to do better for our community.
Mr. Kasperzak, 1 minute.
Listen, we don't need $500 garbage cans, and we do not need $1 million bathroom. And I did pursue this with some contractors, and I have to say that if you go door to door in the South End, and Wendell knows this, they want a warming hut and a bathroom after spending $600,000 on new equipment. And I don't have a problem with those requests. The problem is you have to find a less expensive way to do that, because I believe they deserve that. What we are spending on our parks is long overdue. I mean, some of those things that are in the plans are absolutely needed, but it comes down to financing. So you have to worry about long-term debt, you have to worry about your spending, and obviously the council has to, or a majority of them have to agree with you. So I think those are all challenges, but to say that we don't need recreation and parks improvements, we absolutely have to continue to do that.
Gentlemen, thank you. I'm going to go with one last question. If we can fit it in, squeeze it in, we will. If we're too heavy in the time, if we're already almost to an hour, it won't make it into the program. But I do want to ask you a follow-up to that about City Beach. One of the residents we asked out in public wanted to know about your plans to develop City Beach because they say it's the greatest asset for the city. Mr. Kasperzak, let's start with you.
Plans it's always been one of our greatest assets. Growing up, and I don't want to age myself, 25,000 people showed up at the beach on a regular basis during the weekends. Mostly were Canadians, but that doesn't matter. They were there. You talked about, both of you asked questions about some of the issues, and I haven't been there for so long. The same issues at the beach continue as they were when I was mayor, and before I was mayor. You need bathhouses, which is fair. You need a clean beach. You need vendors that want to be there. You have to invest in those things, and I believe now the plan is they are investing in some of those things. They're creating a new kind of boardwalk because it's aged. But you need personnel to take care of things out there. It all comes back to money. But that is an asset that absolutely needs more attention, and we certainly have to take advantage of it because right next door to us, New York State Parks does that. We have to do the best job we can to make sure the beach gives us the best return and provides the services that people want. And I believe in that.
Quick follow, what would you like to see replace the Crate? A hotel, amphitheater?
I've been approached by business people that would like something the size of SPAC there. That's never gonna happen. Let's be fair, you have 30,000 people go to SPAC and they have four different entrances and exits, okay? I know that because I was regional director there. We have one ingress and egress. You're not going to sit there with 10,000 people for 3 hours or 2 hours after and want to leave. I'm not going back for the second concert. So I would think some type of amphitheater would be there, but it would have 3,000 to 5,000 people. But then you get into, does that give a return best for the city? And so that is something I would consider. A hotel there, I'm not sure that's the best out there at this point, but I would obviously listen to everything that would come my way. I'm that pro-development, yes.
Mr. Hughes, your plans for City Beach?
I'd love to see it. A hotel would be awesome out there. But again, it comes down to there's so many different controlling factors to that beach and what can we actually have out there. I mean, there's so many different entities that control pieces. There's rec designation. There's all kinds of designations to the land out there. And I've heard from a lot of folks, they'd love to see a small amphitheater and different things. It's such a beautiful beach. We need to work with the state better. We need to come up with some sort of shared service with the state, somehow, some way, because you go out there and they come right to the line with that rake in the morning and turn around. And I'm thinking to myself, this is all taxpayer funded. This is all taxpayer money. It's not, why would you stop there? That beautiful city beach is right there. It could take them an extra 20 minutes. But I think we have to expand our horizons. Maybe look at the town for different things so we can get some money to invest in that beach. Because maybe we can sell passes to the different towns in the county. Maybe there's ways we have to look. We just have to be more creative. Because you go to the state beach, they just put in some beautiful bathhouses. And they've got a beautiful playground out there. That's what we need in the city.
It's time for the candidates to give their closing statements now. You'll both have a minute 30. Mr. Hughes, we begin with you.
Well, thanks. Thank you, all of you, for hosting this. This was fun. And Mr. Kasperzak, thanks for being here, too. This is my first time doing this. If you didn't know, I was a little bit nervous. Thank you for making it better than what I thought. I'm not a career politician. I'm just a guy that lives on the south end of the city that loves this city. And I would love the opportunity to lead it the next 4 years. And I will bring a positive form of government to this city hall, which I don't think it's seen in a long time. And people don't like to use positive with government, but I think I can do that. I know I can do that. And using my three C's, communication, collaboration and compromise. I'm not always going to be right in the room, but I want to have that conversation. Some of the greatest decisions in history have been made by the compromise. And I think we need more of that. And I wish Washington, D.C. would do more of that. I wish other places would do more of that. You know, Tom, you and I may disagree, but we come to that center ground, and maybe 60 to 70% of the population agrees with us. And that's what we need, not the 50-50 split anymore, 60 to 70. And that's what I offer.
Thank you. Mr. Kasperzak.
I've been very fortunate to represent people for two terms on the council and then almost three full terms as mayor. And I have learned a tremendous amount all those years in office. I have learned a tremendous about going door to door and listening to the constituents, the people who pay the bills, the ones who are concerned about taxes and utility rates and infrastructure and a police force and a fire department that are strong and recreation that they miss. And I believe the people have convinced me that with my experience, which I have enough of, I believe, being there prior, to bring forth a positive direction that we need. And I'm not trying to be negative with, you know, any council members, but we must work together in the best interest of the city of Plattsburgh. I don't care if people like me or not. I don't care if I'm a Republican or a Democrat or not. We need to work to address what's best for our community. And I think that hasn't been going on for quite some time. And if I'm reelected, I will do my best. I will always be transparent. I will always communicate. And I will always provide the information that's necessary for every single counselor. So if that's the way we're going to govern, I hope it's very successful. And I give you my word, no one will ever outwork me. They never have and they never will. And I want to thank you all for hosting us. It's been a great discussion. And let's see what November 5th brings.
Gentlemen, thank you for participating tonight. Also, our thanks to Kara Chapman and Pat Bradley for asking the questions. To the League of Women Voters of the North Country, Susie Johnson and Betty Ann King, who volunteered to be our timers this evening. And for those of you watching at home as well, we appreciate you being here with us. Please do your part. Vote on Tuesday, November 5th, if not before. Early voting once again begins Saturday, October 26th, and runs through Sunday, November 3rd. Your local county board of elections office will have locations and polling hours. Thank you for tuning in tonight and watching, and have a good night.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.